following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means it's time for Turn 26 of A Worthy Opponent, Hearthstone podcast for casual listeners. Well, we're casual players, and anybody else who wants to listen to us. So, my name is Blacklace. Autumn's name?
Rogues guard the secrets to poison making carefully, lest Magi start incorporating poison into their spells. Poison Bolt? Rain of Poison? Poison Elemental? Nobody wants that.
I think Warlocks do that. Yeah. So what card is that from?
That's from Deadly Poison. It's a soulbound card for one casting cost. Give your weapon plus two attack. I use that card today, in fact.
Because this is Rogue Week. Last week was Rogue Week 2, and the week before was Rogue Week.
No, it wasn't.
Well, last week was Rogue Week, and the week before this coming week will be Priest Week, but we'll talk about that later. First, I want to say a quick apology to our listeners. We had some technical difficulties last week where some of what Autumn's Bane was saying in the middle of his conversation kind of got deleted. We don't know what happened, just pockets of deadness.
Yeah, there were two spots. I think the bigger spot was when I was talking about the charity dinner. That seems to be where it chopped out. So if you notice that it was a shorter podcast and it sounded kind of weird at the beginning with me not being able to retain a single thought, that's the reason.
It was not ADD?
No, not this time.
Okay. So we started May 1st with a new round of Hearthstone ranked play.
Yay, and new card backs.
Yay, new card backs. Last time we got the red Pandorian card back, and players to get them. Pandarian. Did you actually start using it?
Oh, yeah, that day.
Did you? I didn't. I liked my original back. I haven't used it.
I didn't do it because I like it. I actually don't like it, but I don't get to see my own card backs. Other people get to see them.
So you did so other people could see it.
I did it for bragging rights, for no other reason.
Okay. Well, you're going to have the ability to brag more because in May they're doing it again. The second official Hearthstone ranked play season is now live, and they're going to be doing what they call the Brave the Black Temple background. What's happening is we've got a beautiful green and gold card. They do want to say, you know, same rules apply as with the Pandaria background. You've got to get to rank 20 in order to achieve it. But they do want you to remember that you're going to get, for however high up you got up the ladder, however far up the ladder you get, you can go directly to rank play 20 or above, depending on the bonus stars. You actually have to log in at least once in order to actually qualify for the background card reward.
It's a much nicer one. I want to use that one.
It is. It's very pretty. I like it. I will use that. I'll actually put the other one up, but I hadn't. So that's all the real Hearthstone news. We had some downtime with Hearthstone where I'm not sure what was happening. People were having trouble getting online. It seemed a Blizzard problem overall, but everything seems to be on and operational and functional again. No real mentions as to what had happened, but as I said, it's working again, so I'm happy.
Well, if you're happy, I'm happy.
But you had, that kind of is with living in the same household too, doesn't it?
Yeah, something to do with that.
You had new news.
Yes, I did have news. I found some news. The news that I found, there's an interview at, looks like, Kotaku.com. I'd never been there before, but I came across it. The Eric Dodds and Hamilton Chu were apparently interviewed by this guy, and they were talking about the origins of Hearthstone and all of the hurdles that they had to go through, and how they actually started with pen and paper and envelopes, and they were making their cards with actual physical paper. It was after their team was actually temporarily disbanded, and you know, maybe the game wasn't gonna actually take off at first, so they were kind of left to their own devices. I didn't get to read the whole story, but it sounds very interesting, and I thought it was a cool find, and I wanted to share it with our listeners. So if you go to Kotaku.com, and it's called Pens, Paper, and Envelopes: The Making of Hearthstone, and it's a pretty cool article from what I could read of it so far. So another article on a different page, this guy is called The Motley Fool: To Educate, Amuse, and Enrich. It's at www.fool.com. This guy says that Activision's Hearthstone could be the next Candy Crush saga. Apparently, it's doing really well on the iPad market. There is something called Metacritic, which is an aggregator of video game reviews. It collects all the reviews and kind of puts them together. And Hearthstone has gotten a 93 out of 100, which, even though I don't know the site, I have to assume anything that's 93 out of 100 is pretty damn good. But more importantly, Hearthstone for the iPad is ranked in the top 20 free apps on the iTunes chart.
Grumble, 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 grumble.
I know, I'm sorry you can't play it, but... To me,
yeah, here we are, Star Wars Marathon
news.
Going on, and you're sitting there with your iPad playing Hearthstone.
Well, you know, it was just...
And I even tried to download it on my iPhone. I tried to download it on my Galaxy, going, please, please, let me try, because my iPad is obviously the very first one that ever came out, so it wasn't going to download it.
Well, if you're going to watch a movie you've seen 100 times already, you might as well play Hearthstone.
While your life mate can't.
Well, I got through like 4 games before I even realized I was doing it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's great for Activision. Great news for them. Good news for Hearthstone. I can't wait for it to come out in the Android. That's what I'm gearing for, because then I can play it while I'm watching Star Wars. So we have a new email from David Rhodes. Let's see, Aquila, which we couldn't pronounce. See? But he said himself he doesn't even know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, he just found the name and thought it was cool.
Okay. I'm going to read one section that he made a suggestion to our readers or listeners. That is basically something I'd like to pass along. I'm not going to read his whole email. Thank you again, Aquila, for the email. Basically, it says, you may want to make your listeners aware of Twitch, the platform where gamers stream their Hearthstone games for others to watch on their PCs. So that is what I'm doing. He says the quality of the streamers varies hugely. Having watched quite a few, it's not hard to find ones that suit your tastes. I don't really like swearing. Some of the chats have some unpleasantness. Having said this, I have found a recently good way to watch how gamers make decisions in real Hearthstone play. I feel it's improved my game. At the same time, many good streamers talk through their decisions while they play. For any listeners, I would recommend Applejacked. The other ones I watched are Mason, M-A-S-S-A-N, Amaz, Guardsman Bob, Chanman V, and Trump. Might not coincide with NA residents time-wise. So I want to thank him for the email, pass that along to our listeners.
Thank you, thank you. So another thing, I looked to see if we had any more reviews for iTunes or Stitcher, and we didn't, but remember the gentleman who, or lady, I came across as a gentleman to me, that gave us 3 stars and said he'd give us more if we fix some problems?
Say this again? Oh, yes.
Yes. The iTunes review.
And we're having all sorts of technical problems ever since then.
So I tried to negotiate with him on the air, if you recall.
You did.
He did up us to 4 stars and revised his review to talk to us more about how we could help our voice quality. But so more good advice from him. But we kind of got that boost, and I thought it was kind of humorous, so I thought I'd bring it up.
And it's nice. It's very nice. Was there any other new news before I move on? Because I don't want to move on when you're not ready for me to.
I'm always ready for you to move on.
Okay, moving on.
No, maybe one more thing.
Uh-huh, see?
I just figured I'd save that for you to move on and then say, wait, there's more. Apparently, some of the legendary players weren't getting their card backs. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear that. Because I'm not a legendary player, so I didn't notice this.
Yeah, there was a blue post about it. Like, I wasn't going to cry over it because, you know, I didn't get my legendary back either.
You have to kind of get to legendary to get a legendary back.
Details. I didn't get it. They didn't get it. So, you know.
So nobody got it.
The problem's all around, but Blizzard's working on it. They'll get their backs.
They've got your back?
Yeah, that's what Blizzard's way of saying. Legendary players, we got your back.
Aha. Tournament, because I'm moving on.
Go ahead. Move right on.
Tournament. We're having our tournament. We've announced it the last 2 weeks that we were planning on doing so. We've got quite a nice response. We have at least, I would say, 8 people, definitely, and probably another 8 in the wings that haven't checked on the date. May 18th, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the tourney date.
Yes. That's what it is.
We are announcing it now. You have one more week. Do you have a week? Yes, right?
One more week.
Get us your battle tag.
The 11th.
Yep. That is our cutoff date. Grand prize is, since we can't give you anything physical, it's going to be you get to talk on our show with us if you want to.
Right.
So that is the prize for winning the tour, as well as a full day of having fun playing Hearthstone.
Well, a lot of people seem to be motivated by the fact that they want to appear on the show. Several of them have said so.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. God knows, I'm always talking to you.
So a bunch of people have, sent in their battle tags with interest in playing. And I gathered them up into a mailing list, and I sent out the invitation on last Friday, the 2nd, I think it was. And, we have like 10 responses that are confirms, and a few people, I guess, are still waiting to get back to us or checking their schedules. But it looks like it should be fun. Looking forward to it.
I'm not going to be playing, but I'm going to be sitting there monitoring and waiting for people to say, hey, I won.
Well, we'll see. It depends on the number. If we need 2 players to even things out, then maybe we'll play. But no, that way we can be an easy win for somebody.
Speaking about easy wins, how did your week go? We played, let's talk about our week before we move on into the rogue itself. We started with our new ranked month of May. How did your week start?
My week started out great. First of all, I have this cool iPad that I could play on. So I was able to play.
This is me putting my microphone down, going into the next room. If you hear sudden screaming into his microphone, just ignore it. I'll be right back.
I don't think you want to do that. Let me finish telling people about my iPad. Are you there?
Yes. I scared you, didn't I?
For a second there. So, the May 1st hit. So, celebrating May Day by playing Hearthstone. And I think I played predominantly with my Druid, and I played a few games at work, and I think I may have gotten actually all the way to 20 while I was at work during lunch. And then I came home, and I sat down to eat dinner. Black Lace was working late, so it was just me and my kitten and my iPad eating dinner, and I just won game after game after game, until before I knew it, I was ranked 17, all in the same day, while using my new Pandarian card back, and it's just exciting to win and win and get all those bonus stars. And then, of course, the next day, it all started to fall to pieces, and I'm back down to 18. I started playing in casual. Right now, my primary goal is not to ladder up. My primary goal is to make money. Lots and lots and lots of money. Hearthstone money.
Save gold.
Gold. Well, gold is money.
And why would you be saving gold?
For Naxxramas.
Oh, that's right.
So I have over 1,100 gold saved. I don't know if that's considered a lot by most standards, but...
I think it's a good amount. I've got about 790 myself. I have two more games. Actually, not two more games, but I have two more quests to finish to add to my 700 and such. I am impressed with myself because normally when I get 100 gold, I'm right there buying my packs. And I haven't been doing that. I've been saving because I want to buy the extra Naxxramas wings without actually spending real money.
I hear you.
You do, because I'm talking in your ear.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing all my quests almost every day, just depleting them and getting rid of all of the ones I have very little chance of getting. And I like getting the ones where win with any class or destroy minions. And then you can play around the way you want to play around. And to do it in casual is fun because, you know, I've been doing okay in casual. But I don't know if people weren't playing the first day, or maybe a lot of the less talented people were playing the first day and that's why I was winning. But from the second day on, I just went back to my normal, you know, win-lose situation.
I had some very good playtime. Of course, it was I was playing with my Shaman and my Warrior, which are more powerful decks, and I was using them not because I was studying my Rogue like I was supposed to, but I was trying to end my quests. So I advanced to 17, I think, so far. But I keep having good and bad days where I'll get bashed backwards. It's really hard dancing up and down the ladder.
Yeah, it's tough because... you get to a point where you've achieved, so in my case, rank 17, and then you lose one and you drop down to 18. Now suddenly I'm afraid to play any more in ranked because I don't want to end the season back down at 20, because that's how much confidence I have. But I'm fine in casual. And the best part about playing in casual, you know what that is?
You get to not get beaten all the time.
I get to concede whenever I see something I don't like without, not just priests, well, all right, mostly priests, but you can concede and not have to worry about losing rank.
Have I mentioned one of the ways I'm looking forward to playing the priest? I think I mentioned this last week.
Is why?
Because I want to count how many people actually concede when I start playing a priest.
I'm guessing there are probably about 1 million people who play this game.
And we're probably the only two
that concede to priests. I also concede as soon as I see more than one Murloc at the board.
No, I haven't, but I still battle through the Murloc decks. But
unless I'm playing my mage. When I play my mage, I just, you know, wait for that flame strike.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing how many people actually concede, to see if I'm the only person who does it. And I don't all the time. I really don't. I have beaten priests in both ranked and regular play recently. I have played them. And then there are a couple that I did towards the middle of the game, said this is just not going to happen. Or it's the way they're playing it. If they're the type, there's some people who play priests who basically wait until the timer runs every single time. And I'm sorry, when I play, I want to play a 10-15 minute game. I don't want to be there for 45 minutes because they're probably, I don't know, playing Jungle Booga on their iPads while they're playing the game too.
Well, that brings up another question. When you're playing the typical opponent, when do you concede?
When do I concede?
Yeah, at what point do you decide this is not worth playing anymore and concede? Or do you not and play to that last health?
I have two answers for you.
Okay.
One is it depends on my frustration level. If I'm halfway through the game and all my hand just is saying, you're going to die, and I'm just knowing that this is not going to happen, I'll concede in the middle. But most of the time, it'll be the second to last turn. I will concede when I am looking it over, I can see every turn I can take, and that if on the next turn I can't block or kill him, that he will obviously kill me. I will concede then and there, because the one thing that irks me the most is when I have 2 hit points left or 2 health points left, and they have a creature out with a 9/9, and I don't have a taunt, so you know they can just jump over with the 9 and kill me, and then they start playing this card and that card and this card, and let's fireball her for 1, and then this card and that card, and then let's hit her with this one. I can't stand people who do that. It just drives you crazy. Just kill me, get it over with. So I've gotten to the point that I do concede when I know that the game is going to be over on the next turn, that there's nothing that I could do to block. I'll try my hand, see if I can somehow manage to prevail. But if it's going to be obvious that on the next turn I'm dead, I concede then. What about you?
I think it has to do with my mood a lot. Because if I'm playing a good game and my opponent is playing well and not sending me a million I'm sorry, causing me to squelch him. If really it's a fun game and he's playing a good deck and I'm playing a good deck and, you know, we're not taking forever to play, I will play sometimes down to the last point. Today I was down to 6 health and my opponent was down to 1 health. And he beat me. But that's one of those cases where it's too close to tie to tell, so you don't
I
know.
I like those kinds of games,
yeah,
though.
But when I know I'm going to be beaten anyway, and there's no hope, then I'll say, well played, and concede. If I'm on the winning side, and I know I'm going to win, and there's nothing he can do, I have to admit, sometimes I play those other cards, but only when I have a quest involved. If I have to kill a certain number of his minions, or summon a certain number of minions.
Or if it's a priest who's pissed you off enough.
No, well, that's another category. But if I have quests, I will try to bump my quests by playing those extra cards.
I see.
But there is that rare time when I'm playing a specifically obnoxious player who's done some mean things to me, who is, emoted in foul ways, then I will sometimes draw the game out. Make him earn the win by putting up with me as much as I've put up with him. Now that's the dark side, and I only really do that like 1 in 1,000 games. I really don't do that often, but on occasion it has happened where I'm like, this guy is really annoying. How can I get back at him? Oh, I could just be annoying back. But I don't
want an emote.
I don't endorse
flip you
that.
Off.
No, you don't. That's not Blizzard will never do that. That's why there's no chat. That's why there's no chat in this game.
There are just sometimes I just want them to be able to see me through the screen, because there I am with never mind.
No. it's not. It's
I'm an aggressive player, can you tell?
Yeah. Is it called aggressive player or sore loser? Which is it? You know, my grandmother used to play a board game with us. All my cousins and my sisters and my mom and my grandmother, we'd sit around and play this game. I don't know if any of our listeners are old enough to remember board games before all this computer stuff came out. But my grandmother, if she was losing, she would take the board, flip it up in the air, and a million marbles would be all over the living room. I can see you doing that with Hearthstone.
I do not.
No. Mentally, virtually, I could see you doing it.
No, I would be glitch slapping them.
I see.
Speaking
anyway,
of glitch slapping.
Yeah, it's like any other game. You can get frustrated and be a spoiled sport. And you just got to try and keep that to a minimum.
Yeah. And speaking of glitch slapping, I apologize again. We are having more technical errors this week. So, Broogie1984, I don't know what you did to us, but we're beyond pop filter errors at this point. We have all sorts of echoes and time lapses and weird things going on. So, I apologize. We'll try to get to the root of that in the meantime.
In the meantime.
Anything else, Autumn's Bane, that you want to talk about?
I thought maybe we would talk about The Rogue.
The Rogue. What a novel idea. Let's discuss The Rogue this week.
Okay, so we have to go into crafting mode.
And we have to click include soulbound cards.
Which I've already done. I really wish that was a sticky button.
Yeah, you have to redo it every single time you log in. It's not sticky. So the first card is a zero casting cost card, Backstab. You deal 2 damage to an undamaged minion. What are your thoughts? Do you use this card? I do.
Well, I experience that card at work every day. Oh, wait a second. Different kind of backstab. Okay, getting back to the card. Yes, this is an excellent card. I use it all the time.
Yep, it's a good card. Put in your deck if you've got a rogue deck.
Well, there's a number of reasons.
Come on, what rogue doesn't backstab?
Yeah, well, there's a number of reasons it's good. First of all, the rogue deck is highly dependent on the combo mechanic. So to have a zero casting cost spell that does damage and gives you combo, that's an excellent thing. And then there's another card, which we'll get to down the road, which destroys a damaged minion. So no better way to damage the minion than by popping out the backstab.
Yep, and while we're at it, I'm sure that most of our listeners know what the combo points are and what combo means, but casting this card gives you what's called the combo because there are other cards in the rogue deck that have the speciality. This echo is driving me insane, and I'm sorry. The speciality of being able to increase damage or effects by having cast a card to begin with.
Did the echo stop?
It did. After you clattered something.
No, I closed my excess.
Ah, I see what happened. I know what happened, and I know how to fix it, so I will fix it next week for you. Next card is Autumn's Bane. No, it's still echoing, but go ahead.
Because I brought it up again. So, okay, it's off. Sorry, Reap, I have it off this week. All right, so another word about the combo. For people who play World of Warcraft, you know that when a rogue is doing damage and using his special abilities, it creates combo points. And then you build up to 5 combo points, and then you use a finishing move to get rid of those combo points and have a big happy ending. And that's kind of what this deck does. So kudos to Blizzard for making the hero class play similarly to the Warcraft class that it was based on. And by the way, in the next expansion, they carry over.
They carry over.
Yep, in the next expansion, Warlords of Draenor, the combo points will carry over to your next opponent, so you don't lose them.
No.
Yep, just like with a monk. So if you've done 3 combo points on an enemy and it dies, the next enemy has the 3 combo points there.
I like that. You think they'll do that in Hearthstone?
No. So,
come on.
Let's move on to the next card.
Next card is Shadowstep also. Oh, did we? Oh, see here, I thought you already talked about it.
We didn't.
Because I was not prepared.
No, you were not prepared.
See what I did there?
I do. So zero casting cost. This is an epic card. Preparation. The next spell you cast this turn costs 3 less. The next spell you cast this turn costs 3 less. I had a player play that the other day, and he used it to draw 4 cards.
Oh, sprint.
Yeah, so sprint is normally 7 casting costs. He cast this. He cast this, and then for 4 mana, he casts
Sprint,
and then sprinted 2-4 more cards. Anyway, there's lots of
very nice.
Lots of good symbiosis, which is what you used to say. Symbiosis, very much synergy in this class.
He's catching. I don't have that card.
No.
It's an epic.
I have 2 of them.
And in other games, you'd actually be able to give me one, but unfortunately, you can't do that in this game.
I wonder if they will ever open up a way to trade cards.
No, they said they wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, Blizzard is famous for saying, you know, they'd never allow faction change either, right?
Well, that's true.
Next!
Shadowstep! Shadow Step is a zero casting cost card. Return a friendly minion to your hand and it costs two less. I don't use that. I have seen people use that to phenomenal extent.
Yeah, I use it. I have two of them in my deck.
Yep, that's good. It gives you an extra combo.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to do the next one?
It enables you to have an extra combo to play the card you just played. See, the key to this is not so much the returning the card to your hand, but the fact that it costs two less. So let's take a look at one of the more common combo cards that cost two. So I cast Defias Ringleader. I know I'm jumping ahead, but I cast Defias Ringleader, which costs two mana. He's a 2/2, and if I use him with a combo, he summons a 2/1 Defias Bandit. So I cast him, I bring out the Defias Bandit, which is 2/1. I use
Shadow Step. You have to cast something before him first.
Okay, I'm saying I cast something, and then I cast...
Then you cast him.
Then I cast him. Then I use the Shadow Step to bring him back to my hand. Then I play him again. This time he's free. And he gives me another 2/1 minion. So now in that one turn, I have three minions out instead of just two. And I've built up extra combo points so I could play something big like my Edwin Van Cleef or my Headcrack, which we'll get to later. But it's very useful to build up the combos and to enable you to play additional cards. Mm-hmm. It's also good if somebody has put a nasty thing on one of your minions, you can bring it back to get rid of it.
That's true too.
Okay.
And the next card, would you like to alternate? And that would be your turn.
Yeah, it would be my turn. So it's Cold Blood. One casting cost. Cold Blood, common card. Give a minion plus two attack, or the combo is plus four attack instead. I use it. I definitely use it. How about you?
I think I used it in one deck, not in the one I'm using now. I think I used something similar to it. And when we talk about it, I'll say, oh, that's the one I used. It's similar to the one we were talking about. It's a good card. It's a permanent plus four. So yeah, that is a good card to have in your deck.
Yep. And it's only one casting cost. Now I think I only have one, but because you can only have so many of so many cards, but, it's definitely worth having at least one in your deck. If you use it at just the right moment, it could make or break the game for you.
Definitely. And again, you know, it's not like the type of card that it's plus four this turn. It's plus four, period.
Yeah.
And it's only one casting cost, so it's good. It's a very good card.
Yep.
The next card is Conceal. Give your minions stealth until your next turn. And you know what? No, I'm sorry. It just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I can see if you built just the right deck using this as the focal point. You know how people would make theme decks? Like, I want to backtrack a moment. Remember a few turns ago we were talking about the Divine Shield mechanic and how there were minions that worked on the Divine Shield? You and I both faced the same opponent this week.
Yes, that was very odd and very interesting.
And he had a Divine Shield deck, and everything in his deck was Divine Shield,
Divine Shield, and Taunt.
Yeah, it was interesting. But this guy probably decided he was going to just make a Divine Shield deck and made one successfully because he beat me. I don't know if he beat you.
I don't remember the outcome of that one. I honestly don't.
But I can see a stealth deck, and you know the cards that you don't have stealth on, you can use this conceal.
Sort of like the
minions that give charge to everyone else in your rush deck.
Well, here's how this could also work. If you are worried, you've got cards that you want to protect. You've got one mana left at the end of the turn, and he's got things out that are going to kill your cards. Your minions. You use your minions to their best effect. The very last thing you do, throw them into stealth. They cannot be hit on his next turn. He can't attack them.
Yeah. The more we talk about it, the more it's appealing to me. I may throw it in the deck and play with it. Just to see what happens.
I still can see it's kind of I think it's a highly situational card.
Yeah.
granted, it's only one casting cost. It's taking the place of a card that might do a lot better for me.
Yeah, but if I have a 12-12 Edwin Van Cleef out, and I don't want somebody to turn him into a toad or a sheep so that he lives to attack on the next turn, this could be a good card. And it doesn't just affect the one minion.
It's all of them.
Yeah. I'm starting to like this the more we talk about it. I've talked myself into using.
There you go. And listeners, you know, if you hear us nixing cards and you know of ways that this is a phenomenal card, do send us an email or a tweet or whatever and let us know, you know, no, Blacklace, you are so off the mark on that one. This is an awesome card and here's why. Please let us know.
They've done that. One of our listeners did write in to tell me about Tinkmaster Overspark and how it wasn't a bad card when I first got it. Okay, so Deadly Poison, which I read the flavor text on earlier, one casting cost, give your weapon +2 attack.
I wouldn't use the flavor text with Deadly Poison flavor. You shouldn't be, never mind.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Poison doesn't usually taste very good. So I used this card today in a combination that worked rather well for me. I had my simple rogue blade out, my 1-2 blade, and I used this, give your weapon +2 attack, so it became a 3-2 card. And then I used Blade Flurry, which is a rare card that destroys your weapon and deals its damage to all enemies.
Bing.
So I went from having a weapon that could only do one to having a weapon that did 3 to all of the minions.
That's very close on to my play of the week.
Yeah.
I actually had 2 of these out at this. Well, I had 2 of them available at the same time. So I literally had a 5-2 card, 5-2 dagger in my hand. I used it the first turn to hit the other hero. And then the second turn, I blew it up and he took the damage. I mean, it also gives the damage to the other player. So he took the damage and all his minions took the damage. It was very pretty.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't think so, but I did.
No, I'm sure he didn't. But hey, this is a fun deck with some
fun
cards.
I had a lot of fun with the rogue. I did. I would say I lost and won just as many, but this time I actually had fun losing. It's a lot of fun to play this rogue. The next card is Sinister Strike. It's a 1 casting cost. Deal 3 damage to the enemy hero. Oh, yeah. That's a great opening card.
Yeah, I love my first turn getting one of these in my hand, and I don't have mana to do anything else because a lot of the 1 casting cost spells require something else to use them on. The Cold Blood, the Conceal, the Deadly Poison. You gotta have something in play before you could use those. But this one, you can actually use on the first turn. And then bam, you hit your opponent for 3 points before he has a chance to really armor up or to protect himself. So, I like it. It's cheap and easy.
I will not say that's how you like it. Oh,
no.
I just did.
You were neither cheap nor easy.
No, this is true. Okay. Go for the next card, dear.
Betrayal.
No, don't go for betrayal. Just read it.
No. And I'm not going to betray someone who's cheap and easy. 2 casting costs.
Not cheap
costs.
And easy.
2 casting costs. It's a common card. Betrayal. Force an enemy minion to deal its damage to the minions next to it. It sounds fun, but I don't use it.
It does sound fun. It sounds highly, again, situational. If they've got, say, one of those 8/8 giants out, and you hit betrayal, they're doing 8 points to each card to their right and their left. But likewise, if they don't have a lot of cards out, it's not going to really help you. So
yeah.
There are better things to have in your deck.
I did have a rogue use this against me a few times, and yeah, it hurts.
Yep. The problem is there really are a lot of good cards, but when you can only have 30 cards in a deck, you have to really pick and choose.
Yeah, you can only eat so many desserts at one meal, you know?
Eat the dessert after the meal.
Yes, but I mean, you go to the restaurant, you're sitting at the table. That one night, you can only eat so many desserts before you have to take your pants off to leave the restaurant.
And then you get arrested. So, not a good idea.
No.
The next card is a 2 casting cost. Blade Fury, that's the one.
Flurry. No.
Flurry, you know, just like the ice cream.
You used to do this in like Warcraft. Back in Burning Crusade, when you played the rogue, you would always call your spell Blade Fury.
Well, it sounds better. Flurry, to me, is something you pick up at, you know, McDonald's.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
Okay, so the Blade Flurry, now I'm picturing ice cream going everywhere. destroy your weapon and deal its damage to all enemies,
which we just talked about.
And as I said, I have this in my deck, and you do as well. Mm-hmm. Very, very useful card.
Eviscerate.
Even when you've got a 1/1, it's still a useful card. Think about that against Murlocs.
Swish.
Well said.
Eviscerate. Did we talk about this? No, this is similar.
Similar to the other card, and that's the one I said I would mention it.
A 2 and a 4.
Yep.
Yeah. So deal 2 damage combo.
Deal 4 damage
instead for 2 casting costs. I have 2 of these in my deck. Every rogue deck I've made has had 2 of these in the deck.
Sap.
I am not. Oh, never mind.
Are you done?
Because you're calling me a sap.
Oh. Why did I do that? 2 casting costs. That is return an enemy minion to your opponent's hand. Oh, yeah. When you have a... I won't focus on a priest. We'll say you have a person who has called out a card and then doubled its health and then switched its health so that the health is its damage. And they've spent almost all their, you know, their high-end cards and all their mana to get this really pumped up, and it hasn't hit you yet. You sap it back into their hand. They've used all their cards up, and they're calling you a lot of things on the other side of their keyboard.
Yeah, there are times not to use this. For example, minions with battle cry.
Yeah.
You tend not to want to sap.
Carefully sap. Careful sappage.
Yeah, I did that once by mistake, and that battle cry hurt me a second time. Shiv, deal 1 damage, draw a card for 2 casting costs. I don't use it.
I don't either.
Nope, not worth the 2 mana to
me. It's 2 mana, and deal 1 damage is nice, draw a card, sometimes you need it, but I'm sorry, again, there are more important cards that are going to be there. It's a good card, but no, there are better cards out there. Defias. It's my turn.
Go ahead.
Thank you. 2 casting cost. Defias Ringleader. The combo is to summon a 2/1 Defias Bandit, and that's the one you were talking about using in combination.
With the Shadow Step.
Yep. Good card. Even on its own, it's a good card without Shadow Stepping. 2 for the price of 1, and then rose.
Patient Assassin. Do you have one of these? It's an epic.
I have 2 of them, but they're not in my deck.
I have 2 of them, and they're both in my deck.
I couldn't take that little gnome seriously anyway.
Oh, he's a wicked-looking gnome. You have all the cute girl gnomes you play. This wicked-looking gnome. Anyway, for 2 casting costs, if you can get him to live long enough without somebody doing AoE, Stealth, destroy any minion damaged by this minion. Usually lives long enough to do its job.
Analogous.
Yeah, or 8/8 giant. Hate those giants. And I just want one day my patient assassin to take out a giant and be like David and Goliath. Anyway, it's a fun little card. Again, he's especially prone to AoE and non-targeted attacks.
But he is stealth. So,
That's it. That's
the mage can't
him
get
out.
Him by pinging him off, which is nice.
But she can get him with a flame strike.
This is true. And another rogue can get him with a flurry.
Mm-hmm. A flurry, a fury.
The 3 casting cost cards start with Perdition's Blade. It's a 2/2 blade. So it's not a character, it's not a minion. Its battle cry is to deal one damage, and the combo is to deal two damage instead. Be careful with this card. If you have not played a rogue and you have not played this card, the way this card is played is while it's still in your hand, you put the arrow where the damage wants to be, and then it will put it in as your weapon. Most weapons you just kind of place over your weapon pile and it pops in there. I tried the very first time I did this, I moved it over to drop it down. The arrow was pointing to me and I hit myself for 2 points.
Yep. As soon as you mentioned that spell, I was going to warn people about it. You have to put it off where the weapon would normally be equipped. Because the first couple of times I played this card, I landed it right on my icon. Because all the other weapons I'd ever equipped, whether it be, you know, with my warrior or the rogue or,
you just drop
or
it
my
in
hunter,
place.
I would just drop it and it would go where it was supposed to go. But this one, I dropped
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you
my...
got to aim your damage, let your damage fly, and then the card goes where it's supposed to go, or the dagger goes into your hand, so to speak.
Yeah, and I usually use it with a combo, so two damage to myself instead of my opponent takes away the usefulness of that three casting cost 2/2 weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Fan of knives. I'm a fan of knives. I like
I'm
knives.
A fan of knives
I like
too.
Swords. I like all kinds of sharp, edgy things. Oh, wait. This is a different kind of fan. So for three casting costs, you can cast Fan of Knives and deal one damage to all enemy minions. Draw a card. So I wonder if the flavor text mentions Murlocs. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It says, I wouldn't say I love knives, but I'm definitely a fan.
The next card. Great combo card. I don't use it. I really should. I only have
one.
It's called Headcrack. This I have seen some rogues kick ass. It's deal two damage to the enemy hero. That sounds like okay, but then the combo is return this to your hand next turn.
Yep, so you can't cast it twice in a turn, but next turn it ends up in your hand and you can cast it again if you've got the mana. And imagine before
having two
the nerf,
in your hand.
No, I only keep one.
I've seen somebody have two in their hand so that they head crack, hit me for the two, returned it to their hand, hit me again. I mean, it just, the revolving door of damage was, I don't know what they were doing, but I just got pinged to death.
Yeah, but to have that much mana left over to do that, six mana per turn, in addition to what you cast
well,
first.
Well, isn't there a card that actually allows you to, the next card you cast is return, no, it's a minion, friendly miniature hand, cost two less.
Yeah, no. Well, there was preparation. Preparation
yeah.
lets you cast a card for less, but you can't have a preparation in your turn every turn. I mean, in your hand every turn. Headcrack is meant to be used every turn. But anyway, I only have one in my deck, and it comes up plenty, and it's useful. But as I started to say, this was even more powerful before the nerf. Didn't it used to do three damage? Or it did two damage for two mana, maybe?
I can't tell you, I wasn't roguing back then.
Yeah, but it was definitely more powerful, and at least it's workable now. You know, the cost you have to pay for it is fair, whereas it used to just be broken. Edwin Van Cleef, the legendary of the rogue hero class.
I don't have him.
I do. Three casting costs. Combo. Gain +2/+2 for each card played earlier this turn. That includes playing him and shadow stepping it back to your hand. What? He starts out as a 2/2. So a 2/2 for three casting costs by itself is not too terrible. But all you need to do is really get one combo out there and he becomes a 4/4. Anything more than that, it's gravy.
Well,
it's a pretty sweet card.
It makes sense for him to have an ability like that. The flavor text, I'm going to read it on this one. It's great history. He led the Storm Masons in the reconstruction of Stormwind, and when the nobles refused to pay, he founded the Pious Brotherhood to deconstruct Stormwind. So, history of Warcraft is right in this one card. Unfortunately, he's not around any longer.
But his daughter is.
His daughter is. But gaining the +2/+2 for each card played earlier is like him building up the city. Mm. The power that he had. I liked him.
Always like the bad boys.
I do.
I was thinking more that the combos would be him gathering all of the minions to him.
And then deconstructing Stormwind.
Right.
The next card is your SI7 agent. It's a 3 casting cost, 33 creature, with a combo of dealing 2 damage.
Love this card.
It's a good card. I have two of them in my deck.
And this is another card that's great to Shadow Step.
Yeah, because you then bring them back to your hand and then pow off, you know, 4 total damage.
Yep, so 3 casting costs, Shadow Step for free, bring them back, pay 1 mana to put them out a second time. So you got a minion with 4 health out there, or like usually one of those taunting minions. You can practically kill it or almost kill it just by casting this twice.
Yep, it's a good card.
Yeah, I like it. 2 in my deck. Master of Disguise. It's a little red-headed blood elf for 4 casting cost. She's got a battle cry, give a friendly minion stealth, and she's a 4/4 minion. So maybe instead of using conceal, you just play her instead. I like
and
minions.
Use her battle cry.
Yeah, I like minions kind of ability.
The difference is that it only gives 1 minion the stealth. Doesn't
True.
Conceal the whole kit and caboodle?
Yes, but conceal is not a minion that's 4/4. You see my point?
This
you
is
a,
true.
You
this
get a
4/4
minion, and you get to give a friendly minion stealth.
So you can protect it, yes. Yep. I can see that. I don't have her in my deck. I do have 2 of her, but I don't have her in my deck.
This is on par with that druid card that can silence a minion, and it's a 4/4. No, it's only a 2/4, so this is even better.
I'd rather silence a minion.
Yeah, well, that silence a minion or two do 2 damage, so it has a choice of things. This one just has the 1, but I don't have her in my deck. I wonder if I should put 1 in and see how she plays out.
Yeah, let me know, because I won't. moving on to the 5 level, 5 cast cost cards. Quick and easy is the Assassin's Blade. It's 3 damage and 4 uses. And that's it. No flavor text, nothing. It's just a 3/4 card blade in your hand.
Yeah.
Mana.
You know something? 12 damage over 4 turns.
4 turns. Yep.
For just 5 mana is good. So provided somebody
around.
Doesn't. Provided somebody doesn't break it with their ooze, that's good. Or freeze you so you can't use it. But
put your deadly poison on that baby.
Yeah, put deadly poison on and then use Blade Flurry.
On your last turn.
Yeah, 5 damage all across the board.
Yep.
Nice.
Good. I love the next one. I'll let you
Assassinate.
Read it.
Assassinate. Destroy an enemy minion. I mean, flat out creature removal.
Boom.
Nothing beats this.
This is just boom.
It won't work on a stealth person, though.
No, it won't. It won't work on stealth, but it will work on anything else.
Yep. 5 casting costs is reasonable.
It's beautiful. And it's
bye-bye,
Ragnaros. Is it not?
Oof. Yeah, it's a soulbound card, so even
so
brand
everybody
new players
has
get
it.
This.
Yep, it's going to be there for you.
2 in my deck.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. That is one of the cards to have in a rogue deck. There's no two ways about it. Even though it is 5 mana, by the time you're playing something that's 5 mana, your opponent can have some seriously, seriously nasty creatures out there.
Yeah. You probably don't even want to waste it on most minions that cost less than 5 mana.
Right. Wait until the priest steals your big card and then assassinate it.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've usually done that. Yeah.
Because since I played I've got it.
You didn't
admit,
hex them when you were playing a rogue, though.
This is true. When I started doing this, when we started doing this, trying out different card decks, different heroes each week, I had the druid and the shaman were two of the cards that I had never, ever played those heroes. I just never got to them. I didn't think I'd like them. The Shaman might just be my favorite. He might just be my favorite. It's very tricky mechanics. It's a lot of fun. So from all of these, you know, everybody, I recommend give each character class a week and play it, because you're going to learn it and you're going to find out that you like a lot more than the one or two you may have been playing with. Okay, yep. I'm off my soapbox.
No, that was a valid point of view. I think everyone should. No.
Well, next card, we're moving quickly into the sixes. This one is Vanish, six casting cost card. Return all minions to their owner's hand. Do you use this?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
Because, first of all, it's a lot of mana. Second
yes.
of all, in the six mana range, I want to be calling out something more heavy duty than this. Also, my opponent actually has to have a lot of minions. And then, of course, when you return them all, you're returning your own as well, not just your opponent's.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's a tricky card to play.
And then you give your opponent the chance to play his minions again.
Right.
Especially the ones with battle cry that are just going to hurt you even more.
Right.
So it's like Deathwing. I used to like playing Deathwing, and now I never play him anymore. It's too final.
Yeah, I don't play it. I don't
But this
use
one's
it.
Worse than final. This is like a reset, okay? Now
it
you
is.
Can play them all again.
Yeah, you have to be very careful when you play this card, because it can kick you.
The gold version is very cool, though. It's a slow
Oh,
bound.
Yes. Yes, I'm looking at it right now, and every once in a while, a little shadow flies across my screen.
Well, the next six casting cost is an epic, and it's called Kidnapper. It's a 5/3 minion. And the combo is return a minion to its owner's hand. I guess it makes sense calling a minion a kidnapper if it sends a minion away, but he's only got 3 health. I'm not big on those minions that have a lot of attack, but can be knocked out by almost anything.
And the combo is, again, you know, it's a very situational combo, too. It's not, you know...
Yeah.
You got to be careful of battle cries. You got to be careful of what you're sending back to your owner's the owner's hand. Unless you want to return it to your hand. It doesn't say it has to be your opponent.
And to make the card useful, you pretty much have to have more than 6 mana anyway, because it's a combo. So you're going to cast another card first so that you can cast this. And yeah, there's a couple of zeros you could throw out, but... I don't know why it's an epic. I just don't find it's a good card.
Yeah, well, again, you can actually save one of your own minions that way, too. You don't have to use it on your opponent. You can use it on yourself.
Yeah.
On one of your own minions. But no, I don't use this card either.
Yep. I mean, somebody's probably using it. I think I've only seen one played against me the entire time
I have never seen that card used. I've never seen it used. And the last card we're going to talk about tonight is, and we spoke about it already, is the 7 casting cost sprint, and allows you to draw 4 cards. I know you like this. I don't have this. I think it's a lot of mana to draw 4 cards. It's just...
Well, this is why I like it. By the time I have 7 mana to spend...
You don't have a lot of cards in your hand.
I have no cards left by that time, because
gotcha.
I've used them all up to get combo points. So now let's say I have something really good, and the real benefit comes from the combo. Even something like my head crack, you know, because by turn 7, I usually have my head crack and I'm using it. I need cards to play, and not just to keep top decking one card, play it, one card, play it. This 7 mana, which isn't being used anyway because I have nothing in my hand, suddenly gets me 4 cards. That's why I like it, because unlike most of the other draw cards in this deck, in this game, this one comes out for the right amount of mana at the right amount of time. Because early on in the game, remember, I don't know about you, but when I play the rogue, I'm holding cards through the first few turns. I'm not blowing a lot of cards. I'm saving them up for
your
combos.
You're saving for your combos. Yeah.
Or they're cards that affect other minions, whether they're my opponent's minions or my minions. They affect something else on the playfield. So I need to save them until they're viable. And so early game, I'm not using much. Mid game, I'm using a lot. By end game, I don't have hardly anything left. That's where the sprint comes into hand. I think it's a perfect card for late in the game to replenish your hand. No other card does that in any hero class.
I can see that. I don't use it. I'm very leery of it. But I can see your point. I can absolutely see your point.
Okay.
So we are at the top of our hour now.
I thought it was the bottom of the hour.
I think it's tops.
The top of the hour when you're starting.
Or anyway. We top it off at the end of the show.
Okay. So what you're really saying is it's the end.
We're
of the
done. we will be. We're out of. We can't stall.
So next
any
week
longer.
We will do the Hunter.
We did the Hunter.
Again.
No.
Okay. I guess we're doing the Priest next.
That's it. We're done. We have stalled to the very bitter end, and now we have to play the Priest this week.
Maybe it'll be a big news week.
And then we won't have to talk about it next week. We still have to play the Priest.
All right.
We will not love this. We refuse to love the Priest because the Priest is underhanded.
Okay.
But we will play it.
The Priest is blue for all of you Magic players out there. The
yes,
Priest
is
blue.
It is a blue card. Absolutely. Okay. So, anything else this week that you want to talk about? Autumn's Bane.
No, I think we've covered everything.
Okay. In that case, we want to thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can download us on iTunes. Go ahead and send us any kind of feedback you'd like. You can follow us on Facebook at awohearthstone. And you can find us on Stitcher Satellite Radio. Thank you, Holosuite Media, for sponsoring us as always. And thank you, Autumn's Bane, for joining me in our podcast. Thank you, listeners, for listening to us. I'm finished thanking people. Happy hearthing.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Sorry about the echo.
Tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.